This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's funny you said generational. I was just going to say, I don't use that word, but with him, you have to, because he's what, 270? He has the speed of a 240-pound man, and he has the power of a 300-pound man. That's just weird. It's alien-like. And that's a one of one. Like a Dexter Lawrence is one of one. You don't have a guy 340 pounds getting that many sacks inside with double teams. And the thing about Myles Garrett is you can really sort of assess your entire offensive plan to him, stop him, and you still can't do it. If you can get that guy, if you have the cap space to do it, which I know the Bills are sort of in arrears with their cap situation right now, that could take a lot of interesting math. But certainly, if you could get Myles Garrett, there's no question about that. That changes your entire defense. He's one of those very few guys who can do that all by himself.
Doug Farrar on One Bills Live. I heard that. And is it possible to be double sold? I'm triple sold. I'm quadruple sold. I couldn't be more sold on do what it takes for that blue chip stud. The Bills have done a pretty good job of finding, you know, later round picks and mid round picks and plugging them into defense. That's pretty good. And this current state, they need somebody to be a game wrecker. And if they could, oh, go get that one. Perfect. So that's Doug Farrar. And sell you on that, right? That
yes. I don't even, just all sounds perfect. All of it.
Yep.
I don't know what stops them really from doing it. If he really becomes available to where the point the Browns are taking offers.
The main thing I think it represents is, and this is kind of where we are. Last year was the transition year for the Bills, and they still have some work to do on the cap. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. But shouldn't it just be all in all the time now? Shouldn't this be a 4-year period, 3 to 4 year period of the remaining years of Josh Allen's physical prime?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to predict Allen won't be a super freak athlete at 31, but there's just reason to think that maybe you have 4 years like this.
This is his age 29 season coming up.
Yeah, so
4 years from now at his age 30, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's unrealistic at all to expect at 33 it's going to be harder for him to jump over people. I'm not saying he still couldn't do it, but you never know, right? Like, he's maybe the greatest athlete at the position ever, like for his size especially.
Yep.
Ross Tucker's called him that, and you don't have a lot of precedent for it. Cam Newton
broke down.
He also, though, had like a car accident that kind of helped carry that along.
I mean, I'm thinking about Mahomes for this, just because Mahomes has had a series of injuries, and his sack avoidance, which used to be elite, went down quite a bit this year. I don't know what that's related to.
Yeah.
But with Allen, we all agree, right? No one's sitting here saying trust the process right now. At least I feel like you shouldn't be.
No, let's go.
You should be all hands on deck, all in, all the way. mortgage the future is a phrase that gets used a lot in spots like this. And of course the Bills should be, I mean, should they be at the, with where the Rams were, which is bleep them picks? What's the argument against it? You might find some good players in the first round. You might bolster a defense. You're going to get picks anyway. You're going to, whatever. The Garrett idea makes a lot of sense, even at a big price, even at a lot of compensation given up for it. It makes a ton of sense. And you might not want a 29-year-old Myles Garrett. You might want a 26-year-old Myles Garrett. Well, you can't have that. Nobody can. The Browns had that. Yeah. And you've got Allen. It really is time to strike. It's you know, you get me at my most fired up about this. It's not time to experiment with an offense that can do it without talent. It's time to go. This is an offseason where it's go, go, go. I had somebody send me a couple different threads of rookie wide receivers yesterday, and I think the offense is about one really good receiver away, but I find myself getting sheepish at sitting here and banging the drum for receiver again because they seem to take so much pride in doing offense without them, which I still don't think is exactly a great idea. They've got a great line. They've got really good backs. Their tight ends exist. they exist.
That's kind of how it is right now. Yeah, for all that.
So I'm hoping for a big offseason where it's clear, oh yeah, they pushed right back in. They were 3 points away. I kind of want to think of all the things that Bean said. If you would say I would take down 3 minutes to play with Josh Allen every time. Okay. That means you're darn close. If you're that close, that is a push in moment. Mm-hmm. Chips in the table. Spend what it takes. I'm not going to be too geeked about a quiet offseason where there are just cagey signings and we're all talking ourselves into why this defensive tackle that played 2 years as a backup in L.A. with the Chargers is going to be a big difference maker. I don't want to do that. I want to go big.
Even if we've kind of admitted, like, they could do none of, they could do quiet offseason, you know, cagey picks and still win 13 games the way we completely expect them to.
I fully expect them to. But it's not going to be about winning 13 anymore. It's about winning four.
It's about
four in the postseason, maybe three if they get a bye.
It's about, yeah. And not just even about the Chiefs, like, Chiefs, Ravens, Bengals. Like, those teams, it's not automatic you'll get back to the conference championship game. I mean, look how close the margin of error was against the Ravens the week before. You got to get back there, too. You can say, I'll take being down 3 to Mahomes in the AFC championship game against the Chiefs every time, but you got to keep going just to make sure you're even getting back to that spot in the first place, and then to do better at all, because they've beaten you four times. So, yeah, like all the context of where they are, Allen's age is actually really good to mention. Like, I didn't realize this was his age 29 season coming up. Like, are Bills fans going to be like, are going to have a moment the day he turns 30 if they haven't won yet? And they go, oh, he's 30. We got to get going here. He's 30.
Yeah.
Ah, like, what the heck? Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to see them push all the way in. And I also have faith that they are going to do something like that. I don't expect them to have a quiet offseason. I know they're sitting right there on spot check with like the third least cap space at the moment, but they got their maneuvering to do, and Bean is, you know, throw up the sunglasses pick. Like, I feel like I've got a lot of confidence that they're not going to have a quiet offseason. Even if it's not Garrett, I still feel like they find their way to something that gets people ready to go, like, all right, this team is different, this team is better, this is the team that can finally topple the Chiefs.
As we get further and further away from it, is anybody else finding, listen, 13 seconds exists in its own universe, this Chiefs loss to be a little bit more annoying? You getting because they got walloped.
They lost by 3.
No, I mean the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Sorry.
Oh, sorry, yes. Yeah.
The Chiefs got historically bludgeoned in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And it was part Philly, but it was a lot about how they were not adequate.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills, we had a first caller, first hour, say, a first-round pick in 2 seconds and $120 million defensive. Yeah. You spent a ton on your defensive line and didn't have any horses to do what they did? Like, it's not for lack of trying. It's just, it is a little sticky with me when I think about, I can't believe you got beat by that team that was clearly so beatable.
How is it that is that the most common thread of all of these seasons? That it's not like the number one thing, but it feels like every year we've been able to sit here after they've lost a playoff game and say, yeah, their defensive line kind of stunk. Why didn't it look better?
Yeah.
Like the Bengal game, of course, with three backups. The Chiefs just now, after seeing the Eagles steamroll them the next week after the 13 seconds game where they couldn't get near Mahomes except on the first drive where he ran around him. I almost wonder if there is more of like a defensive coaching element to it more than just. Is it possible that these players every time at that position fail in those spots? Or is there something deeper? Is there a deeper reason for that? That comes to like your scheme being, you know, recognized right away and teams knowing how to stop it. I don't know. Just I get to a lot of defensive coaching quicker than I do for personnel when it comes to their defense over the long haul here.
Make some calls in. Silas in New Jersey. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. Morning.
All right. With the draft coming up, I agree with you with what you're saying. We do need to take a big splash. I don't know necessarily that it needs to be Myles Garrett. I think grabbing a Max Crosby for the package that everybody keeps talking about for a Myles Garrett, which would be two first-round picks and potentially a early day three, maybe late day two pick, would be bigger than anything the Raiders are going to get for him. They still need a quarterback. This is not a great quarterback draft. I think if you get ahead of it, Bean gets ahead of it, that's somebody they could look at. And then you attack the draft, and I don't think you need a difference maker at defensive tackle. That's what Ed Oliver's supposed to be. You just need somebody that's going to make sure he doesn't get double teamed all the time. So find a guy that's 320 pounds, 6'4", bigger, that's athletic with long arms, that's going to win if he consistently gets single covered against some of these more elite teams. The other thing a lot of people are not talking about is cornerback. Kyrie Elam's terrible. And the guys behind him, Corey Couch, Jamarcus Ingram, cool stories and all, but yeah, we probably need to go and grab a couple of guys in a draft as well to go and play boundary corner. I like the kid Dorian Strong out of Virginia Tech. There's some other guys, Melo Dotson from Kansas. There are guys that can play the zone system and not get completely embarrassed and de-pantsed in man coverage. So, I mean, those are the areas for me. And then if we're talking running back, Dylan Sampson out of Tennessee, 5'11", 190. He's supposed to run low 4.3s. He is a house call if you miss a tackle, even more so than James Cook. I don't know about how patient he is. I know he can't block either, so we're not losing anything there. And he comes from a spread offense. So thank you guys for what you guys do. We're covering the Buffalo Bills and bringing out good content. And I'm going to continue to make Ravens fans cry on Twitter. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Silas. You know, you start to get into the secondary there. I do think the secondary is in for a very large overhaul. Very big. On how many new faces there might be.
Could their corner room be like just Benford and Ingram coming back?
Yeah.
And Johnson.
And as starters, you know.
So three new corners?
Rapp probably starts. Bishop, I wouldn't be convinced that he starts. Hamlin will not start, right?
Hamlin's probably gone.
Yeah, the secondary is just going to be a different group. And
Would you over under the 1.5 different starters in the secondary?
Over.
You would say over? Because I would say under.
I mean, Douglas is one.
Douglas is one.
And there's no other new starter?
Not in the secondary.
I think there will
be. That comes down to then if you think Bishop is starting or not.
Yeah.
Because I think he is.
I think they'll go get somebody. Yeah, I think they'll spend money. I think they'll go in this. They'll really attack it. I mean, if you want PFF grades, the Bills' safeties were bad. And listen, this is kind of mm-hmm. gets to the point about all in. It's whether it's Cole Bishop or Keon Coleman. If you want to say they believe in their growth process, that's great. If that happens, that's great. You can't count on that. You are in Josh mm-hmm. Allen's year 29 season. It is time to go get it. And it is too much, in my opinion, too much of a gamble to say, we think Keon and Cole will be ready for this. Because if they're not, now it's the trade deadline and I'm going to work to try and bolster it again. And the Bills should be, this offseason, locking up as much as they can, any spot that they can, improve any spot. It's a year in transition is a year where you think, let's see how our young guys come along.
Mm-hmm.
And if they didn't do as much to, whatever, convince you they can do the job, then absolutely sign somebody in front of them. Sign somebody ahead of Cole Bishop. He doesn't have to play for you. I'm not convinced he can play that spot. He could be a run-supporting third safety sometimes if they want to play that three-safety system. But right now, like, I don't know. I wouldn't have a ton of faith in that. I definitely don't think they should just rely on Keon Coleman to be the number two receiver that they want. Think of it this way. Think of how slowly they brought Gabe Davis along. Davis was down the depth chart for two seasons.
Yep.
And then in the third season, they decided it's time to lean on him the rest of the way. And that was probably a mistake for two more years. Coleman, they're going to just turn it over to him in year two when he did less than Davis? I just wouldn't do it. I'm not burying him, but making sure that if he's out there, it's because he's beaten out somebody good rather than just, you know, watching Mac Hollins out-snap him because mm-hmm. Hollins is a nice surprise.
Bishop, though, I feel like they might just think... I mean, there's evidence of this, isn't there, that they are very good at developing defensive backs.
Yes.
They're very good at that. And I don't believe that they're going to never start a second-round pick. Like, he was okay at when he got in there at the end of the year. He was not good at the beginning. But there was stories about him growing as the season went on when he had to play when Hamlin was hurt against Detroit and New England and in the Jets. I just can't see them punting on that pick. Like they have to give it a shot. If Javon Holland wanted to come here and like his agent made it clear like he would want to come here, then I don't want to say no to that. Because maybe there's a way to find a role for Bishop that isn't just your starting safety. But what is safety? Safety in the league is generally more a position that is replaceable. Is not one that I usually have to go all out investing in. That's not really how the Bills have operated because of Hyde and Poyer, right? They've had two elite guys almost the entire time they've been here. But I kind of want to reset that position into, no, just plug two guys in. If I've got Myles Garrett and my defensive line is great and I've got a great corner in Christian Benford and a great nickel corner and I got a great linebacker, like, I don't need an amazing safety. Give me two guys.
No, I think that's the wrong. I just totally disagree. Shouldn't the entire idea be about getting as many great? They should be hunting great.
But yes, they should be hunting great.
It might be
hard to do. But I would rather be hunting great in another position where I'm replacing, you know, Dwayne Carter or A.J. Epinesa rather than a guy that I think we have no idea if he's good or not. Like, maybe he is good.
Well, I'm looking at the. It's funny if you
Bishop.
Bishop. If you dig into the history of the Bills' second round picks under Bean,
yeah,
I mean it's pretty rough. It is.
I mean, Cook is pretty good.
Cook is good, but of all the positions where you would think you can get a guy that can play, a second round running back can probably play. You might be better off using that somewhere else,
right?
But second round picks under Bean, you know, first off, we tack Deion Dawkins on Whaley, right? He's the GM at that time.
Yeah. McDermott, at least.
McDermott, yeah, sure. McDermott. But Tre'Davious White, Bean's not here. Since Bean showed up, their second-round picks are Cody Ford, A.J. Epinesa, Boogie Basham, James Cook, Osiris Torrence, Bishop, and Coleman. Torrence is good. He plays.
Sure. Yep. He's starting guard.
After that, how much I mean, Cook is a great running back, but again, like you can get running backs a lot of places. Is that not a spot where it feels like, man, why are they just falling short? Why is the roster a little bit of a mess? Why are they signing free agents? It's because their second round is not really returned what it probably should.
That's fair.
And that's to say nothing of the first round. The first and second round picks, you might make this an anti-trade for Myles Garrett point. It's really time to get something out of them. And this year's draft class, here's another point to be made about this. This year's draft class, how much did this last draft class affect them on the field this year, especially the playoffs? Here's a point about Garrett. Here's a point about what you should be picking. Your draft class this year, of course, Coleman, Bishop, Dwayne Carter, Ray Davis, Cedric Van Pran Granger, mm-hmm. Eddie Ulofosio, Javon Solomon, Tylan Grable, Daquan Hardy, Travis Clayton.
Mm-hmm.
What contribution was there in the AFC Championship game from those players?
Nothing. Not a single
nothing.
Thing.
Nothing.
Yeah, no.
And that doesn't mean, you know, the draft class is worthless or anything. These players might turn into bedrock pieces going forward. But I'm in a mindset to say I need to affect my franchise immediately. Right now, I need immediate returns. And if this draft class grows and starts to do that, that's great. But the 2025 offseason has to be an offseason about immediate returns. Fair?
Yes.
Not even just the draft, but free agency.
Yeah.
Free agency this year was, what, Mac Hollins, Curtis Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Free agency.
It
was quiet.
Did they do anything?
Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
Right, yeah.
Chase Claypool.
Oh, Chase Claypool. Remember that? Remember the Chase Claypool hype spring that we had last year? Did they bring in a lineman? Who was the defensive lineman they brought in?
Austin Johnson.
I was going to say, I think Casey Tuhill is the guy they signed like on the day of free agency.
Yeah, like
wasn't much.
If you look at last year's offseason, Mac Hollins and a little bit of Keon Coleman and very little else in terms of what you did in 2024 that affected 2024. And the 2025 offseason needs to be that the 2025 offseason will affect the 2025 season in a very big way. That's one thing the Eagles did. Right? The Eagles went out and had themselves an amazing offseason
mm-hmm.
in the draft, in free agency, and got great returns on it. And that's what I'm hoping the Bills are obviously trying to do, and hopefully they can effectively do it. 803-0550, if you want to give us a call. CJ's dropped off. If you want to call back, CJ, we'll get to your phone call. Anybody else? The chat on YouTube is going nuts. There's a lot of hot takes in here, including that we should be wearing suits.
We should wear,
who knows?
We should be wearing suits?
I've decided that...
I'll wear a suit for maybe for draft day or something. It's got to be an event. It's got to be an occasion. Right? Just wear a suit to wear a suit.
This is where, I don't know if we're allowed to say it yet, but we're having more draft parties. Last year's draft party, they traded out of the first round and we survived. It was okay. It was hilarious. Yeah. It was hilarious.
Well, it wasn't funny.
Everybody,
it wasn't funny in the moment.
Let's all get
people
together.
People were very mad.
Let's get together for the first time since COVID. 300 people celebrate the draft. Hooray. Trade out. See you tomorrow. We'll see how it goes this time.
The moment that KC logo popped up on that screen, there were hundreds of angry people just ready to they were mad. Very mad. There's nothing that could happen this draft that would make people more mad than that, right? In the moment.
Drafting a running back.
Ooh. You're telling me the reaction, there would be a worse reaction if they picked Trayvon Henderson,
yes.
The running back from Ohio State, than there was last year when the Chiefs logo popped up and said pick is in, where the Bills were supposed to be picking.
If Bean were to trade with the Chiefs again, granted, it would be two spots.
It would be hilarious.
Right?
I would feel like he's just trolling everybody. He's not going to trade with them again.
Whatever.
I guess actually by his logic, he could. If they come, hey, we'll trade up from the fourth or the third round if you drop down two spots. Oh, yeah, you like this? You like some guy? Go ahead, take the pick.
803-0550. Lindy Ruff at 8 o'clock. The Sabres getting back to practice. And the Four Nations Finals on the way tomorrow night. We'll talk to Lindy, his thoughts on the Four Nations. What he's seen, from Dahlin, from Joki Haru, and... what he thinks about, the whole format, the whole tournament, how it's been. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550 on WGR.
Yeah, it's been great. Been watching all the games. I thought the U.S.-Canada game was awesome. If you're not a hockey fan, that'll instantly get you hooked. And sitting there wishing I was there a little bit. And that was probably an unreal atmosphere. And I think everyone's excited for the rematch on Thursday.
Tage Thompson on the Four Nations. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Not there. The NHL, in its infinite NHL-dom, did the thing that is weird, where they limited the roster size and you have to be down two players to get one to come, which is odd.
It's just a weird.
So the report yesterday was Quinn Hughes is on his way. And
yeah.
then he was
so the then, coach says that
and then
at
he's,
the podium.
And then he's not on his way because he was at practice. Meanwhile, Quinn Hughes is in Vancouver, a 7-hour flight to where the game is being held.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think what probably was happening there is that he was set to come and then the NHL told them not to.
Yeah.
Like, we're not letting you play. Which is absurd. That he was on the original roster. He was named to the team. And then he got hurt in a completely legitimate way in one of the final games the Canucks had before the tournament. And now he has worked his way back from that injury, and they're telling him he's not allowed to play, despite the fact he was on the original roster. Just weird, stupid NHL creating rules that don't have to, like, what's the point of them existing? The U.S. had to play a game with one fewer player in this tournament because of their weird decision to only allow one extra.
All I'm saying is it should have been like the WWE where you didn't know who the bench players were.
Yeah.
And they just play music and have the guy walk out.
Yeah. I liked Paul Bissonnette's tweet on that too yesterday. Like, let anybody
everybody.
You want. You want to call up Tom, he said, you want to call up Tom Wilson for this game if you're Canada? Let him. Why not?
It really should
let
be.
Let them call up whoever they want. If the guy wants to fly to Boston and play in the game, and the team, let him.
I agree.
Why not?
You should be able to just call up any American.
Yes.
Any American.
You're saying like not like other guys that aren't even just hockey players?
Sure. Anybody. We're making a call. Any Canadian.
Yeah.
Call them. 803-0550. Meanwhile, there's a funny little verbal shot fired. So Brandon Hagel, he's the Canadian player who fought Matthew Tkachuk. And
Former Sabre draft pick
who they let walk away for nothing. It's fine.
Not bitter.
No, of course. Anyway, he took a shot at the Tkachuks. You let me know if this is fair or not.
Okay.
He said, we're out there playing for a flag, not the cameras. That's the part of Canada we have. We don't need to initiate anything. We don't need any group chats going on. We're going out there playing our game, giving it everything, and like I said, doing it for our country. We're just going to play as hard as we can and do it for the flag. Mike Zeisberger, NHL.com. His next line he wrote was, zing. The idea being that the Tkachuks sideshow texting who's going to fight who was actually for attention and not for the American flag, blah, 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 blah. Fair from Hagel?
I don't know. I mean, it's getting to their man. They were manufacturing something.
Yes. No, we don't have to do that, but that's something they have to do.
All right. Fine. It's in the spirit of the competition and like the rivalry too, like the trash talk of it. The point he's making, I wouldn't care about it personally.
Yeah.
They were. That's how you do it nowadays. Would it have been better if they had talked about it in the locker room before? To Hagel, like is it the group chat element of it that makes it like?
You tell me, Team Canada doesn't have a group chat? Is it only that the Tkachuks were discussing who's going to fight first?
Yeah.
Is there really a problem there?
I guess if you, yeah, is that his problem is like that they're picking out who they're going to line up against and who it's going to be, because like Brady Tkachuk takes the face off the second puck drop, and he's not a center. Like, he would never take that puck drop, but he did it because Bennett was out there, and I guess he was yelling at Bennett to get out on the ice. So okay, sure, they did it, but I don't know. That's how different is that than, you know, Rob Ray telling stories of how he would talk to a guy in warmups like, "Oh, we're gonna go tonight, huh?" Like, it's the same thing. It's just not done with a cell phone.
Right. Yeah. Get some calls in here, 803-0550. Derek in South Carolina. Hey, Derek, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys, man. Thank you so much for taking my call. I love your guys' show, man.
Thanks, Derek. Thank you.
Yesterday with all your how cold it is, I loved it yesterday morning. But anyways, I would love the Bills just run it back one more time. You know, I wish we could keep, you know, it's the same players and just run the team back one more year. You know, I mean, just I think we did great. I mean, I think we just got hosed on a couple calls, but, you know, I would love to run, you know, just to see the Bills run it back one more year.
But why would they not try to get better players?
I mean, we didn't do bad this year. You know what I'm saying? We did. We really didn't do bad. I mean, especially if James Cook shows up, like you guys said, we don't know how that's going to go. If he shows up to OTAs or minicamp or he holds out, I mean, I hope he don't. But
well, one thing I would say, thanks, Derek. One thing I would say is, it's always important to remember that things are not linear. The Bills made the AFC Championship game and then had to wait four more years to get back there. And all the other teams are having an offseason where they're going to try and get better. That's Baltimore. That's the Chargers, the Bengals. I mean, there's a lot of teams out there that are going to try to have themselves an offseason, and I certainly do not want the Bills to stand still.
If they did have an almost nothing offseason and basically ran it back, how do we think that would go? Really, like how do we think that would go? Because I've said a few times, I think they're going to have regression on the turnovers.
Here's the difference. If they ran it back, what would happen? The same season, except they maybe instead lose to Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore was a coin flip of a game where they won the turnover battle 3-0 and got a guy to drop a game-tying pass.
Yep.
And as much as we like to think, well, the quarterback will just go down the field and score points, we've now seen in multiple playoff games that he doesn't do that or hasn't done that every time. Not blaming him, just we have this idea that that would happen every...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every single time we want it to, and it doesn't happen every single time we want it to. I mean, I do you want Mac Hollins to be your number one receiver again? No way. I don't even want Amari Cooper. I'm writing off the Cooper idea. I want almost nothing to do with it.
I'm more and more start wanting to write off the Hollins idea. He was cool. Everyone liked him. He wore an animal costume on his way in to the AFC Championship game. Cool. He caught 30 passes. He was on the field all the time. Right. He caught 30 passes. Well,
30 passes for like $2 million is not bad.
All right. I can get... How many guys can I get to do that?
Plenty, but they probably all cost about $2 million. He'll be cheap again.
That kind of is my point. I don't want a guy making $2 million on the field 60% of the time.
That's because you want somebody else to make more than him.
Or I want Coleman to be better.
Right. He can come back, but just...
I want Samuel to be healthy. Like, really, one thing that's lost about Hollins and all of this, Hollins played as much as he did because Curtis Samuel had a lost season. No?
It's part of it, yeah.
He was injured throughout the entire year. He wasn't giving them a lot. I mean, if Samuel was a hit, Hollins isn't really playing all that much. They traded for Cooper the moment that Hollins was getting targeted on a regular basis, and it wasn't working. So, again, like, I don't mean to bury him. He's a super fun player and well-liked, and if he wants to come back and play special teams and be my number five receiver, I'm all in. But I think if he has 50 targets again, that's a failure this offseason.
Gordon in Buffalo is next up. Hey, Gordon.
Hey, boys. Good morning.
Morning.
Okay, so I'm calling in, and I guess I'm saying my word of the day today being adequacy, because if you really want to think about this real quick, you, Jeremy, you read off the amount of second-round picks that have either just hit or missed, but it's been more so misses than a second round, correct?
Yeah, I don't think they've gotten the return on what you would hope to get in second-round picks.
So from what I've heard from you guys, and I've heard from other analysts who have takes on the NFL, it's pretty much that McDermott's defense, like most in the NFL, you have to imagine, rely on pressure because of the zone system that they play. So if they can't generate the pressure with the guys that they're getting, at some point, and before I make this point, I just want to say I completely acknowledge all of Sean McDermott's shortcomings and clock management decisions and everything that comes with that. But at some point, I'm not saying that we have to put Brandon Bean on the hot seat, but we have to really take a look at what's being given and say, hey, the Eagles went out there and stacked up their defensive line with the biggest D-line in football. At some point, you have to just do better than what you have done the last few years. And I understand that Oliver's supposed to be something and Rousseau's supposed to be something, but just to be honest, it's not enough. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Gordon.
He really saved himself from this being, I think, a huge talking point about draft history with what he did, what he landed on in the 22 draft after Elam, because
Cook, Bernard, Shakir, Benford.
Yeah. Like there are enough hits on day three of the draft that are keeping the mob at bay from day one and day two of the draft.
That said, isn't round 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 where you're more likely to just kind of turn it over to the scouts? Is that wrong?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I guess I don't know.
I feel like the board is trusted more later. First round, second round, it's the board, and, well, what do we want to do here? Like, GMs, this isn't just something I would say of the Bills. Why do GMs even bother going? Why don't teams just put it on auto draft? And the answer is because the GMs put a stamp on the draft.
Right.
It's not just pick the guy that's the highest. It's, well, let's talk about which direction we're going to take.
Let's get stupid. New way of drafting.
Auto draft.
You submit your board to the league before the draft, and then we run it as an auto draft.
I mean, it wouldn't really be good for television.
You just watch it. No, we'd still be, like, you can still wait 3 minutes between picks if you want. We'll be watching. We'll know the Bills are up next. And Bean will be watching it like we all are. Like, he'll know who he's about to get, probably, but...
Yeah. This reminds me of something.
Then we'll know who was actually number one on their board.
You were off last Friday, and I was all set to fight with you about something.
Okay.
We'll get to it in the 8 o'clock.
I don't remember what
we'll
this was.
We'll get to it in the 8 o'clock hour. I gotta remember to do this.
This was the day after Allen won MVP.
Yes.
Yeah.
You tweeted something about the Ravens using the Madden video game.
Oh.
And I'm ready to fight about it. Love fun. That'd be a good time. Lindy coming up at 8 o'clock. And Eric Edholm, NFL.com, on the draft and the offseason at 9. 803-0550, our phone number. Idea for a new segment when we return where we – it's not let's get stupid. I don't know how to tease it, but I told these guys what it is. What's going on in the chat? You guys got to get on the YouTube feed because the things that go on in this chat, I can't even – it's out of control. Owen's over there, like, moderating. What are you people doing? What's going on in the chat? All right. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Lindy Ruff in a few moments. So, got an idea for you here, by the way. Since we are streaming the show on YouTube and Twitch, maybe you know we do that, maybe not. Maybe you listen on, you know, a smart device or a radio or whatever. You could throw us on your television, smart TVs, all that on YouTube. Search WGR and take a picture and then say, like, hey, I'm having breakfast with Jeremy and Joe. How about that? Invite us to breakfast. We'll come hang out. And then we can tell you about all the stuff that happens in the group chat here. The YouTube chat. What's going on in the chat? Today, February 19th, 2025? Yeah, 24.
20, yeah.
What year is it? I don't even know.
2025. What are we doing in the chat, though? We got someone's proposing a pay-per-view fight between me and you for some reason.
That's not even the weirdest thing that's happened today. The weirdest thing that's happened today is there's an individual in the chat that refers to shorts.
Okay.
Just shorts. Yeah. As short pants. The men should not wear short pants. Like, everyone's like, what do you mean short pants? Shorts. This person refers to shorts as short pants.
I might have thought he was talking about the way now it's kind of fashionable to wear pants.
Joggers.
Joggers, a little bit of
sure.
No. Socks.
Just actual shorts.
Okay.
Gym shorts are short pants.
Those are short pants? Wait, also, not only
maybe
is
this
he
chat,
not calling, he's saying people shouldn't be wearing shorts now or just in general?
Ever.
Like, ever?
Like, men shouldn't, you should not act at any point.
When it's 98 degrees?
Nope, you shouldn't. And again,
this is a terrible take.
Short pants.
Right, that's the
takeaway. This person gives you their theory on life about how men shouldn't wear short pants, and you say, you walk away like, can you believe that guy called them short pants? What is that?
Somebody said that we should call pants longs.
Long shorts.
Long shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Long pants.
I don't know. What is going on in this chat?
That feels like short pants, I would bet, is something that was like... This is an older gentleman that's referring to him as short pants. That feels like something that would have been like a term in the 50s, I might guess. We would have called him short pants.
Maybe.
Like when we were calling him knickerbockers or whatever.
Sure. The chat is clarifying that I'm saying it wrong. It's not short pants. It's short pants. Oh, thanks.
Wait, how are you able to pick up on that from the chat? They like...
Yes, it's been cleared. It's been cleared up.
Okay.
Short pants.
Short pants.
Are you wearing short pants today? Yes, I'm wearing short pants today.
Uh-huh.
Not just shorts. This chat was a mistake. Stream was a mistake.
How'd that come up in the first place?
Who
knows? Is somebody wearing shorts in this?
The things that come up, it is like...
We didn't talk about it.
It is like... I don't even... We're having a good time. It came up because of the individual that said that we should wear suits every day.
Yeah, which is
we
not,
should be wearing suits.
No. That, you know, maybe next year that'll be our last place punishment for our Thursday night parlay competition.
You have to wear a suit.
You have to wear a suit the rest of the year.
The only time you'll see us in a suit during the show is if one of us is going to like a wake after the show. Like, that's it. Like,
Friday wedding,
sure,
maybe.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff, the Four Nations final is tomorrow. Lindy has coached internationally. We'll see what he thinks about the whole tournament, how it's gone. you know, his impressions of his own players that have been there and the tournament itself. And, of course, as the Sabres return on Saturday, Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff when we return on WGR.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.